What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Double M Show episode, Mike, 34. We're talking Paul Pierce.
We're talking Ray Allen before the Celtics days.
Jesus.
Hey, 34 for number 34. Marv came in with the jersey.
So, Pierce, favorite highlight of Pierce?
Favorite highlight of Pierce? Man, he has so many, but I think the one that stands out later on in his career, it's a game against Madison in Madison Square Garden against the Knicks where he hit the game-winning shot, and you had Nate Robinson trying to jump on his back, and Pierce was paying him no mind.
He jumped
and flipped over Pierce's back. You got Ray Allen in the background looking at him like, well, what the hell are you doing, Nate Robinson? But, I mean, it was a big shot. Is that the same game where Garnett, like, took a bow? Oh, no, Garnett hit a different shot.
That was a different game.
Where Garnett hit a shot at Madison Square Garden. But Pierce hit a big shot there as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics had some battles with the Knicks. That was the Amari Stoudemire era. Yep. Amari was putting that team on his back, and him and KG had some battles themselves. So, definitely a highlight for me for Paul Pierce. Yeah. Ooh, there's so many, like you said. I think one that stands out is... I can't think of one specific other than the obvious. You know, you want to bring up the 2008 NBA Finals when he got hurt. Now we find out he had to take a deuce, but came back, hit like two. He had hit a couple 3-and-1s, 4-point plays, and brought the Celtics back to win that Lakers game that they were down in. So definitely talk Paul Pierce. But Mike, this is the Double M Show. We got a lot to talk about in episode 34, man.
Wow.
What is on the playlist?
So as we, you know, are live tonight, you know, Tuesday, October 22nd, the NBA season, NBA 2019-2020 season kicks off tonight. A lot of storylines going into the season, you know, players making moves, teams, you know, maybe taking a leap into the playoff picture, maybe teams have fallen off, players getting accustomed to new teams, a lot of different storylines going into the year. But, of course, we're going to have a conversation about it all here tonight. A couple weeks back, we had our Celtics season preview, but now we're talking all NBA, so we'll drop our predictions. Definitely want to hear from you guys on our predictions as well. So make sure you join that live chat to let us know what you think about this upcoming NBA season. We also want to talk about Michael Jordan. And usually when I want to talk about Michael Jordan, you know, it's always in a positive light. But the man said some questionable things recently in an interview he had talking about Steph Curry and the Hall of Fame. And, you know, we'll dive into that conversation and what he said exactly. But, you know, I'm a Michael Jordan guy through and through, but the comments that he made, you know, I definitely disagree with, but we'll talk about that, but some more. Also want to talk about the New England Patriots had a Monday night football game where they shut out the New York Jets, moving to 7-0 on the season. How good is this team? Is this team really just headed to another Super Bowl appearance? Their third straight, it would be. They recently acquired a wide receiver to add more weapons to Tom Brady in the offense. So we'll talk about it all. We'll break down a little bit of it. But, you know, sports-heavy show tonight, Mark.
Definitely,
we're not a sports-heavy show, but tonight's a sports-heavy show.
When you have the season, the NBA season that's going to be this year, it's about to be wild. You know, we have to break it down. We have to break down our predictions, who we believe is going to, you know, take over. And we're going to hold each other accountable this year.
Got to.
We're going to see who is right with their predictions moving on. You know, we're going to put it up in our social medias as well so you guys can follow along. But let's get it started, man. Tonight, the Toronto Raptors have lifted up their banner of 2018 champions. Shout out to the Toronto Raptors. You know, they beat a hobbled Golden State Warriors. They got Kawhi, Finals MVP, and it's good for the city of Toronto and Canada, man. I'm glad that they have this moment to cherish for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, you know, it's a championship where I think a lot of people believed, you know, two fully healthy teams, Toronto had no chance of winning.
Not at all.
No chance of winning. If Golden State was fully healthy, you know, they ended up losing Klay Thompson. They ended up you know, they tried to bring Durant back, who got injured in the previous series against the Houston Rockets. Durant tried to get as healthy as possible to make his return. He returned, and then he went down again due to injury. So they were missing a lot of key pieces. And the Toronto Raptors basically took advantage of that, as they should. You know, what are they going to play down to the competition because Golden State doesn't have a couple of their top guys? No. They put their foots on the throats of the Golden State Warriors and stomped their way to a championship, their first championship in team history. And according to you, Marv, probably their only one that we'll see for a long time.
The Toronto Raptors will not win another championship in my lifetime. It's just unfortunate of how it is. Nobody wants to play in Canada. The stars aligned perfectly for Toronto to win this ship. And listen, they had the Vince Carters. They had the Chris Boshes, the Tracy McGrady's. They all end up leaving. Kawhi only stayed for 1 year. But he's going to be a legend in Canada forever. And I don't see something like that happening ever again. Unless you tell me Siakam's about to become one of the greatest basketball players in the world.
Yeah, I think with the Toronto Raptors, they might have to hit the reset button a lot sooner than they maybe anticipated. Or maybe they knew this was coming. They knew that they are probably going to get a year out of Kawhi Leonard. You know, try throughout the season and make it look as pretty as possible. You know, the fans organization hope that maybe says, you know what? I actually like it here in Toronto. Yeah, I think I might stick around. Yeah. Maybe they hope for that. But
they had that with DeMar.
Yeah, true. But
DeMar wanted to stay. He wanted to be a Toronto Raptor for life, and they kicked him to the curb.
Because they knew they weren't going to win anything with DeMar DeRozan. That's just what it boils down to.
That's why they will never win.
They got better talent than Kawhi Leonard, and, you know, the gamble paid off. But at the end of the day, the other side of that gamble, Kawhi Leonard, as soon as free agency opened, he probably didn't even talk to Toronto. His bags was probably packed.
Yeah, he was going home regardless.
Very, very quickly. But, yeah, the reset button might have to be pressed very quickly for the Toronto Raptors. You know, Lowry's not getting any younger. He's already kind of up there in age. Siakam, who knows what he'll turn into. The next couple best players are Ibaka and, you know, Marc Gasol, and those guys are not on the younger side of their NBA career. So they're going to have to make some moves. They're going to have to shuffle things around and maybe hope that, I don't want to say the word tank, but the draft is going to have to be very friendly to them in the next couple of years. They're going to have to be smart with how they make moves.
And the thing is, they're not bad enough to the point where they're going to get a high lottery pick. You know, this is Toronto team, which we're going to speak on later.
Okay, maybe they do tank. Maybe they do tank.
So you think they're going to just tank to get
better? I mean, you just said it yourself. Do they, you know, ride the wave and, you know, in the middle of the pack where they're going to get a draft pick that's not going to be
for the next couple of years, maybe. You know, you still
away Lowry?
You still got Van Fleet. You just signed Lowry to a big-ass contract. You signed Siakam long-term. Gasol, you know, he signed back in with the Raptors. So they figure they're going to still be in the mix of things here. Still be relevant. You're a championship team. You are the defending champs. You have to find a way to stay relevant somehow.
It's going to be tough for them. I feel like, who's their GM? What's the GM's name? I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. But that's one of the situations where the GM might look at his team in the next couple of years and like, look, the way this team's set up, not successful. Let me get out of here quick and let...
I mean, he had an opportunity to go to Washington. They offered him big money to go to Washington.
Yeah.
And he said, no, sir.
But I think after a couple of years, the Raptors aren't going to make any noise. Let's just be real about it. They're not going to get to where they were last year. I highly doubt it. So maybe they have to just, you know, or maybe the GM, you know, folds a little bit earlier and resigns because he doesn't want to be a part of an organization. Doesn't really have a future ahead of them. But, I mean, that's just the Toronto Raptors. Like you said, they raised their banner on opening night as they take on and host the New Orleans Pelicans, who are a brand new team. New Orleans Pelicans are a brand new team. One of the more exciting teams in the league, not because of what they'd done previously, but because the hype around the new team full of young players. Lonzo Ball, you know, the trade with the Lakers to send Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Now the New Orleans Pelicans have Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, They still have Drew Holiday, who's still around. And then the number one overall draft pick, Zion Williamson. That young core is the future of the New Orleans Pelicans for the next several years.
Yeah, and Zion's the key, right?
Zion's the key.
Zion, number one pick. We saw a little bit of him in preseason, and he looked pretty better than I even expected, Mike. You know, Zion, obviously number one pick. There's obviously going to be huge expectations. There's already comparisons of Charles Barkley, LeBron James, Sean Kemp. This guy's had unbelievable expectations, but he's came in preseason, and he's dropping 20-plus. 20-plus points a game, dunking on heads already, caught a body his first game. It was like, okay, Zion's ready to play. But then we all see what happens. Torn meniscus for Zion Williamson. And, you know, he'll be out for, I believe, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yep, diagnosis right there.
6 to 8 weeks. So that's, we're thinking maybe around December. Around December that he comes back in. But they still have a great team. I like Lonzo. I'm excited for Lonzo and what he can bring to this Pelicans team. You still got Drew Holiday in there. Who's the other? Brandon Ingram. This is his chance now.
That's the guy right there.
This is his chance to really, you know, they didn't extend his rookie contract. This is a prove it year for Brandon Ingram. He needs to really go out there and, you know, prove himself. This is a guy who came out with Jaylen Brown. And, you know, he got kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit. But this is now he's on a brand new team, and there's not a lot of expectations on Ingram. He was dropping. He averaged 18 points a game last year. People forget about that before the blood clot. So let's see what Brandon Ingram can become now that, you know, Zion won't be a vocal point for a little bit. And it's going to be and everyone knows, Lonzo knows how to play with Ingram. Ingram knows how to play with Lonzo. And you got Josh Hart there as well.
Yeah, and they also have, you know, Derek Favors, who's a veteran player. I mean, he's not like an all-star, but he's a solid big. You know, he knows what he brings to the game, what he adds to the post. I do think Alvin Gentry's a pretty solid coach. I think not having Zion to start off the year really, it'll take a hit on them for sure. Not having Zion will take a major hit to them in their early chances to really make some quick noise. But I'm excited for the future of the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, I'm from Boston. I'm a Celtics fan. I'm always going to root for the Celtics. But whenever a team gets like a young core, you know, young players who, you know, they want to see how they mesh together, I'm always excited for them. I'll admit, as a Celtics fan, a few years ago when the Lakers had their young core of Lonzo and Ingram and Julius Randle, a couple of young guys, I was like, you know what?
Even when they had D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo, too. I think it was D'Angelo before Lonzo.
Yep.
D'Angelo, Ingram, Julius Randle. I think it was probably the year right after Kobe retired. I said, you know what? I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm not rooting for them. But I'm excited to see what these young guys can do in this kind of post-Kobe era. So, similar in this situation where Anthony Davis is out the door, I'm excited to see what this new New Orleans Pelicans future will look like.
Real quick, Mike, you know, there's no live stream. This is us, pure podcast. Pure podcast. So if it seemed like we was a little off, if you guys listening, we was trying to get this live stream to work, but, you know, Wi-Fi was down. Wi-Fi was down, so everyone who's listening in their cars, on their phones, whatnot, now you're going to get our full attention and people who are watching live on IG. Let's talk about the Pelicans. What's the last thing you said on the Pelicans?
I'm excited for their future.
Their future, yeah. Where do you see them this year, though?
I see the Western Conference is a tough conference. You know, I think you and I were sitting here trying to, you know, do our prediction, the top 8 teams in the Western Conference, and it's really tough to say, who are the top 8 teams? Because, you know, every year, even this year, it's just tough. A lot of teams are very good in the West. As much as I'd like to see how the Pelicans make noise in the West, I don't see them cracking the playoffs this year. It's the first year together. You know, yes, Ingram, Lonzo, they've been in the league for a little bit now. Drew Holiday's been in the league, the veteran of the team somewhat, but like, it's their first year.
Right.
Their first year together. Zion, starting off on the wrong foot. You know, it's their first year together. They'll take some time to mesh. They'll be exciting to watch, but be a team when they face the top teams in the West or the East. They're gonna find out like, oh, okay, we have a little bit more to go before we reach that next level of the team that we probably want to be. And the good thing about it is they're all young. Work out for them this year, they continue to build. Gentry will be there.
Yeah, so I was just about to bring him
solid
up.
Solid, maybe veteran pieces. They're a team that can build and grow and really blossom, I think, in the next couple of years. But this year, I think they'll just be an exciting team, not a team that really, you know, makes noise in the playoff picture.
Kind of like the Dallas Mavericks of last year.
Yes.
Mavericks, not a great team, but they were exciting with Luka Doncic. They were exciting with pretty much that's it with Luka running the floor and seeing what he can do. But New Orleans, I think they're going to be all right, man. I think they're going to be that team, 10th place, 9th place, that are just fighting, but you don't want to play them. You know, you can't take a night off when you face the New Orleans Pelicans. I think those guys are going to play really hard. I like Josh Hart as a shooter on that team. I think now he can really develop and become his own player as well. And I keep bringing it back to Lonzo. I think Lonzo can really make a big leap this year into what he is. He hasn't been a bad player. Obviously, there was high expectations on Lonzo. He's supposed to be the next Jason Kidd, but this is a guy who's still dropping 6 to 8 assists a game. He was getting 6 to 8 rebounds a game, you know, still getting double-digit points. So he's going to become his own. His shot looks a lot better, so I'm excited to see that. But, Mike, let's get right to it, man. Since we started with the Western Conference, let's talk about the Western Conference.
Yeah. The West is stacked, like I said, and I think, you know, it's going to look a little similar to last year, but probably shuffled around a little bit. Meaning, when I say that, I mean the teams that are probably the top 8 teams in the conference will probably be, I don't think there's going to be any, in my predictions and my thoughts, I don't think there's going to be any new faces in the playoff picture.
So you have any teams that weren't on the playoffs last year in the playoffs this year?
No.
You do?
I don't have any playoffs.
But you do. I'm looking at it right now. The Los Angeles Lakers.
Ah, sorry. I'm so sorry. So sorry. Yes, that is the one team that, you know, I think fully healthy this year with the addition of Anthony Davis, they'll actually make some noise. And you know what? Let's not waste any time. Without further ado, my predictions, top 8 teams in the West.
Start from the bottom.
Start my way from the bottom going
bottom up. All right. Number 8.
8th seed in the West. I have the San Antonio Spurs.
Whoa.
Now, the reason why I have the Spurs and not other teams like, you know, I think we're talking about possibly the Dallas Mavericks or possibly.
So Mavericks aren't in the playoffs.
Sacramento Kings.
Kings are not in the
They are not in the playoff picture. The reason why I have San Antonio making it over those young up-and-coming teams where there's a lot of great young talent, Greg Popovich is still the head coach of that team. And I'm one that firmly believes if you have a good coach can bring the best out of any kind of talent sometimes. Just by coaching them up, drawing up the right schemes, game plans. And yes, this is not the San Antonio Spurs of years past, but Greg Popovich is leading a team that still has the likes of DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, Rudy Gay.
Monte Murray's back. You have Derek White.
They have some guys over there who, for Greg Popovich, Patty Mills is my guy. You know, guys that will produce for Greg Popovich, which is why I have them in the playoff picture. But then they're not going to be any higher than that because, you know, they are what they are with the talent that they have, but they'll squeak in because of Greg Popovich.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. I'm just going to have you list, for sake of time, list your eight through one, and then I'll ask you some questions about a couple teams you got there.
All right, cool. So number 8, like I said, San Antonio Spurs. Number 7, the Utah Jazz. 6, Portland Trailblazers. 5, Golden State Warriors. 4, Denver Nuggets. 3, Los Angeles Lakers. 2, Houston Rockets. And 1, the Los Angeles Clippers.
And once again, these are standings for the regular season. You're not saying the Clippers right now are going to win the ship.
Nope.
You're not saying the Rockets are the second best team in the West. You're just saying standing wise, they'll have the second best record.
Yes.
Okay. What's your number five team again?
Number five team is the Golden State Warriors.
Let's get with the Warriors. Okay, so I have the Warriors as well in the playoffs. I have them as number seven. Number seven, you have them as number five. And the I would have had them at five, but we all know we saw the news that came out earlier today, October 22nd. Klay Thompson may not come back this year. So you have D'Angelo Russell over there. You have Steph Curry. You got Draymond Green. And you got Steve Kerr. This is a big culture year for Steve Kerr. Yes. Can he get the Warriors to be a top four, top five team in the playoffs? I think that would be a huge accomplishment in itself. I just think from what we saw in the preseason, knowing that Klay Thompson is not going to be in the season for the most part, the Warriors are going to have some road bumps during this year.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy road for the Golden State Warriors. The news about Klay, and Steve Kerr kind of backtracks later on that I read something that came out saying, like, they're really just going to play it by ear and see what happens. And originally, earlier in the day, he did say they don't anticipate Klay back, but then later on, I saw a message pop on my phone and said, you know, they're just in wait-and-see mode. Klay is huge. If they get Klay back after the All-Star break and, you know, he is 80% of who Klay can be, you know, they can make a decent run towards, you know, a higher seed. Without Klay, they're going to be battling, flip-flopping at the bottom half of the playoff picture for sure. I personally believe Steph Curry, two-time MVP, you know, three-time NBA champ, first time ever unanimous MVP. There's lots going to be on his shoulders this year.
A lot. Without Klay Thompson, his running mate, I mean, they obviously – They've won a lot of games without Kevin Durant. But can they do it without Klay now? And what can D'Angelo Russell bring? I honestly think D'Angelo Russell will be good for Steph Curry, because Curry, that's D'Angelo Russell, unlike Klay Thompson, is another ball handler.
That is true.
Another guy who can, you know, run point if need be, and he can find Curry open, and Curry could be a catch and shoot guy where he can light it up and get 30 plus points.
Absolutely.
Which will be really huge for them. But will that be enough? We forget Klay Thompson, he was a defender.
Yeah, they're going to miss that a lot.
Like, what the hell is – I'm so excited to see the Rockets get their revenge on the Warriors. Like, they're going to be like, oh, you don't got Klay this time?
You got your ass.
Russell Westbrook and James Harden go 90 miles per hour at Curry and D'Angelo Russell. Oh, my God, that is not something pretty to see at all.
Nah.
And, you know, when they face the Rockets, you obviously James Harden would get his, but you slow him down with the Klay Thompson and things like that. Curry doesn't play the best point guard because he can hide a little bit with Klay. He can't hide no more. D'Angelo Russell, from all accounts, is not a good defender at all either. So it's going to be interesting to see how Steve Kerr, you know, plays that. But defensively, that's where they're going to be hurt the most.
It's going to be interesting to see, like you said, it's a big year for Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr has a team that is not a super team, you know, not this super dominant team that's all he's had ever since he started coaching the Golden State Warriors. You know, they blossom into somewhat of a super team. Now he has a team that's going to have to ride the wave and be right there in the middle. And it's, like you said, it's going to be interesting to see how that really, you know, plays out throughout the course of the season.
All right. So
any other questions about my eight?
Yeah. So, you know, while I ask you a question about your eight, I'm going to tell you where I place my team as well. So you have the Rockets at number two.
Rockets at number two.
I have Rockets at number one.
Ah.
So we both have similar thoughts with the Rockets here.
Yes.
I think, Mike, Rockets are going to go crazy in a regular season. I think this is a team that can easily get 60 wins a game if they're healthy, dynamic. James Harden pissed that he didn't get the MVP against Giannis. Russell Westbrook has shown that he can take a backup role and have someone else be MVP, dish it out. I think these guys are going to go off again in the regular season. Playoffs is a different story, but regular season, I have them being the number one. You obviously agree. You have them being number two on your list. What intrigues you about the Houston Rockets?
That's the team right there who just, in terms of the West, couldn't, last couple of seasons, couldn't get over the mighty Golden State Warriors. They're right there.
They're
dominant team in the West. But just the fact that the Golden State Warriors were just that team above them, that's really what it boiled down to. And, I mean, obviously, you take out Chris Paul, you bring in Westbrook. I personally never really thought Chris Paul and James Harden combination would work. They're still one of the best teams in the West.
Yeah,
For the most part, it did. But obviously, somewhere along the line, especially last season, they figured that it wasn't working anymore. Now you bring in Westbrook, which, in my opinion, is a better pairing. Yes, Westbrook is ball dominant, and Harden's ball dominant. But just the fact that they're playing in D'Antoni's system, which a lot of fast pace, running gun, I think that's going to bode well for Westbrook and Harden. And you take Westbrook, put him into that system. Compared to Chris Paul, who's like slowed down, kill you half court. And they still have pretty much the same team around them that's been there the last couple of years. You know, Eric Gordon's still there. They still have their lockdown defender in P.J. Tucker. Clint Capella's still there, controlling the paint. My man Gerald Green still coming off the bench.
Gerald Green is gone for the year, unfortunately.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he broke his foot.
When?
In preseason.
How the hell I missed that?
Gerald Green is out for the year, man.
No!
Yes, sir.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. At first they thought, you know, it'd be minor, but they're fearing for the worst right now for Gerald Green.
Holy smokes, I didn't know that. Well, damn. That's a big loss. That's a veteran three-point shooter, athletic, off the bench that they're going to miss. But, you know, the way that team set up between...
And they're all... Rockets, the thing about them, they're always wheeling and dealing. They'll bring in a couple guys
true.
Somehow.
Hey, Joe Johnson's now available if they want to take a chance on a veteran shooter there.
He had a stint there
as
well.
He sure did. But now that Green's minutes open up if he's out for the year.
That's
for Joe Johnson.
I like that. That's something to really look at. I like the point how you're comparing Paul and Westbrook. You take away Chris Paul. Westbrook's a guy who, in D'Antoni's system, could, oh my God.
That's why I drafted him in fantasy.
It's going to be nuts. And Westbrook's a guy who plays really well with big men. If you have a moving big man, pick and roll, he does so well with that. If you remember his relationship with him and Steve Adams, those two, even before Paul George or Carmelo, although those two's always had a connection. Him and Clint Capella can be something very nice. When you have Westbrook and Capella there, that's going to be something to look at. And now you're talking about depth. Like, we saw that when Chris Paul was down, James Harden was able to carry the team by himself.
Yeah,
that's when he went on that historic run of 30 points per game. So, you know, we're in the era of load management. Now you have a team that's so good that, hey, James Harden, take this night off.
Westbrook got it.
Westbrook can get a triple-double easy. Hey, Westbrook, you're going to take this night off here. James Harden's going to run the show. And then when y'all two are together, boom, dynamic. So it's going to be interesting. Russell, you know, his shooting was a big problem last year. He's with the team now where they're shooting. There's guys that can shoot the ball.
Even brought Ryan Anderson back, I believe.
Did they?
I'm pretty sure they brought Ryan
Anderson. That's another weapon. So Westbrook doesn't, you know, have to feel aligned to, oh, I need to shoot this three-pointer. I need to make this shot, to the point where he can just start dishing, which he's been doing very well at. So I love the Rockets this year, Mike. Moving on. Do you have any questions?
You go through your 8-1 now, and I'll let you know how I feel about it.
All right, number 8, I just like you, Mike, I have the Spurs.
Okay.
Number 7, as I said earlier, I have the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. Number 6, this team takes a dip. The Denver Nuggets. Where did you have the Nuggets?
I had them 4.
Yeah, I had the Denver Nuggets taking a dip. And we have to understand, too, you have them at 4, I have them at 6. We could be predicting the same record at the end of the day when it comes to the West.
Yeah.
You know, it's so close. But I have Denver Nuggets taking a dip this year because just the talent going up. And can Jokic do it again?
That's a big question.
You know, Jamal Murray and those boys, they're great, you know. But, Mike, just tape out on them now. Can they do it again?
The line right there.
So I don't know. I think they're still going to be a good team. They're going to be tough. Obviously, I still have them in the playoffs in the West, but I don't think they can produce another top 2 seed team. They could prove me wrong. Number 5, I got the Portland Trailblazers.
Okay.
Number four, the Utah Jazz. I love Utah this year. Clippers at number three, Lakers at number two, Rockets at number one.
All right. You had Utah at number three.
No, I had Utah at number four.
Okay. Four's pretty high. What do you like so much about the Utah? I have them on the playoff team, too.
Where do you have them?
Seven.
Okay. Utah's going to ball. Utah has a low-key signing in Bogdanović that nobody is talking about.
From Indiana Pacers.
From Indiana Pacers. This is a guy who was the leading scorer for the Pacers last year when Victor Oladipo went down. Okay. You know, if he was, if he played out throughout the whole season, Bogdanović might be, you know, considered as an all-star. He's a scorer. You still got, you know, that damn Joe Ingles that can ball.
That's my guy. Joey Bones Ingles.
Then Donovan Mitchell. This is where he takes his all-star leap.
True.
This is where he becomes, you know, a bona fide star in this league. You got guys who have left. Can he be that Dwayne Wade? Rudy Gobert is still there. He's still two-time defensive player of the year. This is where the West is getting a lot bigger now. You got Anthony Davis rolling over there. And then Mike Conley.
Big pickup.
Utah's been looking for a point guard for years now. And they finally got it. This is a guy who's going to dish the ball. He's going to feed Donovan Mitchell. He's seen a lot of playoff games. He has the experience. And defensively, you're talking about one of the best defensive point guards in the league. You know what I'm saying? He might not go into Utah. He might never become an all-star, which is unfortunate. But he's going to go down as one of the greatest basketball players to never be an all-star. Michael Conley is going to help out this team a lot. But those are the two reasons. Conley and Bogdanović, those signings are very big for Utah. And they've always been a good home team. I don't see any teams really going in there and really beating the Utah Jazz like that.
Okay.
So that's my sleeper team of the West, a team you're going to be looking at. You said the New Orleans Pelicans?
Yes.
I'll be looking at the Utah Jazz.
Okay. And where did you have the Clippers again, number two?
Three.
Three. People, the consensus out right now is the Clippers are the team to beat in the West.
Yeah.
But you have them at three below
Lakers below Rockets.
And the Rockets. You don't think the Clippers are better than the Lakers and Rockets. Why?
Be careful now. Be careful with that. This is regular season.
Predictions. Okay. You think they'll finish below the Lakers and the Rockets?
I do, but not by a lot. I just think that you got to remember Paul George is not playing for the first 10 games here. He's recovering from his shoulder injuries. I don't know how they're going to do this load management with Kawhi Leonard. I don't think Doc's going to play like Nick Nurse did over there in Toronto.
Nah, but they got Kawhi locked up now. They ain't worried about that.
So I think it's going to be a huge learning curve. You have a Clippers team that was tough, hard-nosed. You know, everyone gets the ball. I think there's going to be a learning curve now. Kawhi needs to get his. Paul George needs to get his. Obviously, you're talking about two guys that show that they don't have ego, but at the end of the day, they need to get their 20 points per game as well. And how do you get an emerging Montrezl Harrell to fit in? Where does Lou Will fit in into this offense? You know, he's a walking bucket.
Yeah.
But how does he fit in when he comes in the game and now you're paired with Paul George? You know, what happens with that? So I think it's just going to be a learning curve with the Clippers to start off, and then by the time they have Doc Rivers, trusting Doc to really figure it out for them. And by the end of the year, they're going to be great. But to start off, you know, they can't be beat.
Okay.
And another thing about the Clippers, one question mark I have about them is their size.
Yeah, you have mentioned that to me before.
Their size really concerns me. Harrell's great. I'm blanking on who else is there. Who else is there?
They got Zubac and Jermichael Green.
Zubac's a nice player, but that's all he is. He's a nice player.
Jermichael Green.
6'9".
Those are the guys I could think of.
So their size, I think they need to get bigger, and we'll see if they make any moves going throughout the year. But that's my concern with the Clippers.
Okay. I think there's one thing that we definitely both can agree on when it comes to the West. It's going to be tough over there.
Oh, so that's going to be a war.
It's going to be a tough back and forth. Those teams might be flip-flopping all throughout the season. you know, a loss can drop you from like third to sixth or similar to how it went last season. But it's definitely going to be interesting to watch. Let's now move it over to the Eastern Conference and go 8-1. This conference is much different from the West because after like, you know, maybe the fifth, maybe the fourth seed, then it's just a bunch of
I got a surprise here.
Bums maybe scrambling around, but let's kick it off, Marv. Let's go 8-1 for you and your predictions. What do you have?
I'm gonna go 1-8.
Okay, 1-8.
Because sure. I think everyone understands. I think you and I are gonna have a consensus with the top three, top four.
Okay.
And then I think the bottom, that's where it gets a little interesting.
Yeah, probably. All right.
So number one, I got the Philadelphia 76ers. Standings. Number two, I got the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
Number three, Boston Celtics.
Yes.
Number four, Brooklyn Nets. Number five, the Toronto Raptors. Number six, Miami Heat. And number seven, I have the Indiana Pacers. And number eight, I'm so excited for this one, Mike.
What are you about to say?
The Atlanta Hawks will be the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. You heard it here first.
Why? I'm listening. Explain. You have a lot of faith in the same Trey Gunn over there.
Yeah, I love Trey. And the same reason which you said about the Spurs with Greg Popovich, I like Mike Budenholzer. I think now they're starting to have a team over there with Trey. You got Cam Reddish. I like Cam. I'm excited to see what he does in there. You still got Vince Carter still dropping
insanity.
Buckets. Zach Collins, I'm projecting him to take that next leap over there. So I think the East is weak. Let's face it. John Collins. What did I say? I said Zach Collins. I'm thinking of the white boy in Portland. John Collins. I'm expecting him to make a leap as well.
He's on my team, yeah.
I like Atlanta, and I just like Trey, bro. He
Steph 2.0.
Yeah. What? The comparisons, obviously, he probably doesn't want the comparison. He wants to be his own person, but the comparisons are there, and you could argue he had a better rookie year than Steph.
Ah, yeah.
You could make that. You know, Steph, let's not forget, first couple of years, he had injuries.
And he's still having to play behind like Monte Ellis and stuff over there.
Yep, injuries. He had to play behind Monte Ellis, and the NBA wasn't what the NBA is now. You know, you couldn't just chuck threes whenever you wanted and things like that. It was a different flow that Trey came in at the right time where you can ball like that, and he gets it in. I was concerned with Trey at first. We saw him in summer camp preseason. It was like, oh, man, he's bumming it. But he came to his own, so I'm very excited for what he can do. And I like Atlanta's team. That's going to be my sleeper team in the East.
Okay. Let me drop mine, 1-8. And I think we have some, like you said, after number three, it gets kind of funky. But number one, for me, I'm going the Milwaukee Bucks, repeating again at the top. Sixers 2, Celtics 3, Indiana Pacers 4, Toronto 5,
wow.
Brooklyn 6, Miami Heat 7, Detroit Pistons 8.
See, let's start with Brooklyn. Will you have them?
Brooklyn, I have them 6th, below.
So you have Brooklyn. Interesting. You have Brooklyn being worse than they were last year.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Kyrie Irving, I don't trust him as the leader of the team.
Oh, my God.
I don't trust Kyrie Irving.
This guy, Mike, is a comedian.
But listen to me.
This man, Mike, was talking Kyrie this, Kyrie that all the last 2 years.
Listen. And then I found out what type of leader he is.
And now he goes to Brooklyn.
Look, who's to say that Brooklyn last year was one of those teams where, they just all came together and pitched in and, you know, one all for one and one for all.
Oh, that's funny.
Who's to say that Kyrie over there, who's going to be ball dominant, who needs to get his 25 points a game, who's to say he doesn't mess up that little chemistry that they had last year? They're going to be a playoff team. I believe it's the freaking East. They're going to make the playoffs. But who's to say he doesn't necessarily throw off what Brooklyn was doing last year with LeVert and Dinwiddie? And, you know, yeah, they have DeAndre Jordan now, but who's to say that doesn't get a little twisted compared to what they had last year? I'm not saying that. It's one thing if I said they're not a playoff team now because Kyrie's there, but they just take a drop.
The Nets got better. When you add Kyrie Irving, you add DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, they're still a playoff team.
You get better. Forget playoff team. You get better. They're better with Kyrie. They're better with DeAndre Jordan. Let the hurt go.
It's not about hurt. I feel, in my opinion, that Toronto, yes, they lost Kawhi, but Toronto be better.
You think Toronto Raptors are a better team than the Brooklyn Nets?
They're the defending champs. I got to put respect on their name.
I'm going to ask you one more time, just so you can think about it.
Mm-hmm.
The Raptors are a better team than Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah. Got to put respect on their name.
Forget respect on their name.
They're the defending champions.
Forget the defending champions. Why?
They're a championship team. Yes, I understand.
They don't have Kawhi.
They lost Kawhi.
But
the rest of the team's still there.
Well, that rest of the team done anything without Kawhi last year?
Who knows? It's the freaking East.
Oh, my God.
Who knows?
It's the East. Let's be honest here. Is that team doing anything without Kawhi last year?
I have Brooklyn at 6. Pascal Siakam is now going to take a step above where he was last year. You know, Lowry is still chipping. I believe Marc Gasol will be a lot more comfortable now. And don't forget where Marc Gasol was in Memphis. He was an all-star level player. Now he gets a full training camp, a full year in there with Toronto. I think he'll be much better for them this time around. Indiana. The reason why I think what I put Indiana for, I just thought about Oladipo there. And yes, he's not to start the year. But when Oladipo's there and he's fully healthy, Toronto's a good team. They lost Bogdanovich. I understand that. Adding in Malcolm Brogdon's huge piece.
Yeah,
Brogdon. Get a playmaker there. I believe Miles Turner will take another step. And Miles Turner is a few steps away from being one of the dominant big men.
That's my question mark. I don't believe in Miles Turner.
I believe Miles Turner is a couple steps away from being a dominant big man in the NBA.
Where Miles Turner is at right now, I think that's where he is in this league. I haven't seen his leap.
This year, especially to start the year without having Victor Oladipo there, this year to start, we'll see what kind of Miles Turner we'll get. Because he has the opportunity now, quite possibly, to be the leading scorer over there.
Miles Turner's not a scorer like that.
If they really turn to him in pick and roll and trying to have him dominate the post, depending on how his post game worked, he has a jumper. He can hit the three ball. Depending on how they use him and utilize him, he has the opportunity to be a leading scorer over there until Oladipo comes back. Brogdon, yes, he can score. Zabonis will get buckets here and there. But I believe that Miles Turner needs to take the next step in his career. At the bottom of my list, Jimmy Butler will hold his own in Miami. But that holding his own in Miami will lead him to the 7th seed.
Okay, where did I have the Heat? The Miami Heat, I have them at 6. I have him at 6.
I think Butler adds a solid option there. You know, he's a guy, he gets what he wants being a part of Miami Heat. I don't know where Jimmy Butler's head was at the last couple of seasons, but I think he's happy and content and will produce in Miami.
And I like their rookie, man. I like Hero. I like Hero a lot.
Bam Adebayo doesn't have to worry about how Whiteside anymore.
You got
Olynyk.
Don't talk to me about
Deion Waiters.
Waiters, they're trying to ship his ass out of there. you got Winslow.
Winslow. I like him for a day in his life.
He's a baller, though.
But, yeah, I think they'll be there in the 7th. And Detroit. I have Detroit at 8th.
Yeah, it was between Detroit or Atlanta for me. But then I saw Blake Griffin still going to be hurt.
That's the thing. Blake Griffin's going to be out for, you know, a couple weeks. We'll see how that goes. But I feel as if fully healthy. I was making this list thinking about a fully healthy team. Fully healthy, Detroit can make some
noise. You can still change it, Mike. You can still change it. We're going to be looking back at these lists for a couple here.
Okay. We'll see how it goes. But I think Detroit, I have them at 8th now, but they could possibly make a leap. If you have Blake back playing into his full potential, you're getting a
Derrick Rose. I forgot Rose
Derrick
is there.
Rose is a
I
huge acquisition.
Ooh.
Who can get you 15 plus off the bench.
I forgot Rose was there.
Drummond will do his thing consistently.
Ooh.
Detroit got a team. I have them at eighth, but I think they can possibly bump up, maybe.
Detroit always finds a way to disappoint you. So I'm going to stick with my Atlanta Hawks pick. But Derrick Rose, man, you know, rooting for that guy. Hope he has a, you know, equivalent season that he did last year with the Timberwolves. All right. Eastern Conference, Western Conference. We could go on for a little bit here, Mike. Let's get to the awards.
Awards. All right. You want to kick it off here? Because, you know, my awards.
Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year.
We'll both say ours.
Okay.
You go first.
I'm going with Kawhi Leonard.
Ha.
And the reason why I'm going with Kawhi Leonard is because the Kawhi Leonard won back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards when he played the majority of the season, because he's the best defensive player, perimeter player in the league. And when he won those awards, he was on one of the better teams in the league. This year, I don't believe in this load management bull that is going to be taking place as much as it did last year when he was with the Raptors. He'll play a majority of the season, on top of the fact that he's going to be on one of the better teams in the league, and we already know what he can bring to the table defensively. I'm going with Kawhi Leonard, you know, getting another crack at bringing home his third Defensive Player of the Year award.
So when I was doing my list, you know, I saw you peeking at a damn thing. Because I got Kawhi Leonard as Defensive Player.
Because you know it's not about peeking. It's just about knowing the facts.
Well, you named good facts. Just to piggyback off what you were saying, Kawhi's in the West. He's back in the West again. You're going to have to be a dog every single game. And with the size that I was talking about, the Clippers' lack of, there's going to be times Kawhi is going to be facing guarding the two. Or then next game he's going to have to guard the four. And we know that he can clamp down. And now that you have a running mate in Paul George, who, yes, he's a good defender, but we'd all say he's a better scorer than he is a defender. And, you know, give George more of the scoring load, which we know he can do. We saw him do it with OKC last year. Yep. And have Kawhi really take care and clamp the best player of every team, especially if, you know, as in tonight, October 22nd, that we're shooting, Clippers and Lakers play.
Yep.
If, say, Kawhi plays a great game against LeBron James, those are the things we're going to remember more than him locking up a Thaddeus Young or anything like that. So, you know, I think Kawhi Leonard is another chance to really solidify him as one of the greatest to play this game. If he gets a third Defensive Player of the Year award, it'll be ridiculous. Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year, I'm going with Zion Williamson.
Mm.
And I understand he's going to be out for the first 6 to 8 weeks. The way I probably believe, he might come back sooner than that. I'm just making that prediction. He might come back sooner than that. But whenever he's back, and depending on his minute restrictions or if they'll hold him back or anything, if he plays, you know, without any restriction or anything, you know that offense, for the most part, is going to go through him. And the way it looks is this. Gentry's just going to find ways to just get that guy easy buckets. And with his athleticism, as long as it's fully there, buckets will come very easy to that guy in the paint. And you're looking at a guy who can easily average 15-plus, you know, 6, 7-plus rebounds. Those numbers right there, I think, will be better than any other rookie in the league. I'm going with Zion Williamson.
Zion Williamson, who can argue that pick, right?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, like you mentioned all the facts, and he looked good in preseason. He plays anything like he did in the preseason, it could be there for him. But, you know, there was another star drafted in this draft class. We mentioned Tyler Hero. I think he's going to be up there as well. But Ja Morant.
Yeah.
This is a guy who has superstar potential. Superstar potential, and I think rookie year he's really going to show it, man. He has the keys. He has the keys to Memphis.
Sure does. You know? Ain't nothing holding him back.
Nothing's holding him back. Super athletic, shoot the ball, and one thing about Ja that is great, he is a facilitator, a true facilitator that the league has been missing, and he's going to bring that back into Memphis. I think he will become the rookie of the year, and he's going to have an incredible, incredible career.
Most improved.
Most improved.
You want me to go?
Go ahead, Mike.
Most improved player, I have Isaiah Thomas from the Washington Wizards. Isaiah Thomas has a chance to take control.
That's a good one.
And be a pretty productive point guard for the Wizards. And quite possibly, before the year's over, he'll be the starting point guard for that team. I know to start the season, he's hurt, so they're going with some backups.
Yeah, that starting lineup they put up is so...
Stronarowski or whatever his name... Oh, no, not Stronarowski. I don't even know.
I don't even think Stronarowski.
He's in Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the starting point guard is for the Washington Wizards. Either way, I think whenever Isaiah Thomas is fully healthy, and right now I think he's dealing with a thumb injury, so this is not his hip anymore. For the most part, yeah. I'm pretty sure his hip is fully healed and he can now move around. But he injured his thumb somewhere along the way in the summer that's been holding him back. And if his hip is fully healthy and he can play, his thumb is good to go, we know what Isaiah Thomas can bring to the table. Yes, he's a couple years removed from his MVP caliber season, but he's not old enough where, you know, he's lost a step. Maybe the hip maybe has slowed him down a little bit, but for the most part, Isaiah Thomas is just a dog, and he can get buckets. He know how to play the game. He plays the game the right way, and if he can play anywhere close to his full potential, maybe, the Washington Wizards won't be a team to be reckoned with and scared, but the way he can possibly produce next to Bradley Beal on that team that doesn't really have anything else after Bradley Beal, Isaiah Thomas can make a run at the Most Improved Player Award coming off the years he's had last year in Cleveland and in the Lakers.
I like that. I like that pick a lot. IT, it's just a hit, man. Can he recover from that hit?
That's what it is.
There's only been a small few players who have. Chauncey Billups comes to mind when you think about that hip injury. But Isaiah, you know, 5'9", 5'10", it was his athleticism that really got him through. You know, he was able to get to the bucket at ease. He was able to jump, shoot over players. And we'll see if he's able to do that, you know, 2 years removed from being what we know him to be. So I like that pick. My most improved player of the year, Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics, man, who just backed up the Brinks truck for that guy.
That man just got paid. And I think if you keep him in the starting lineup, this man can go for 18 points a game, possibly. If, you know, we saw what he's been doing in the preseason. He's starting to realize his strengths. He's attacking the basket at ease. And if you really think about all the slashers in the league right now, there's not many that can do it as well as Jaylen Brown. And we've seen glimpses. I think this is where we see the full package. We know he can knock down the corner three. If he works on his free throws and develop his defense, you know, take that next step that a Jimmy Butler did, that the Kawhi Leonards did, because they all came into the league the same way as Jaylen Brown. Athletic guys, can't shoot for nothing, but can play defense. Can Jaylen Brown take that next step like Jimmy Butler did? Can he do that like Kawhi did? I think he can easily be the most improved player of the year.
I like that comparison of, like, in that mix of guys who came in great defensively with athleticism but needed to develop their offensive game. Putting Jaylen Brown in that mix of Butler and Kawhi, if he could get anywhere near that level of those two players, Celtics got themselves a player for the next couple of years,
and
for sure.
You know, thinking about Jimmy Butler, whatever you want to say about him or Kawhi, those guys work hard.
They do.
You know, they work hard. They practice hard. I think Jaylen is similar to that. So I hope, you know, he takes that next step. If he doesn't take it this year, what you get from Jaylen Brown now is what you're going to get from him.
Yeah, this year is going to be huge. I know we said that last year about him, but, you know, he was in the mix of a lot of other extra stuff.
We didn't see a lot of things happening.
But this year for the Celtics, like I've said, Kyrie's out the picture, you know, Horford, whatever. But this year, I know Kemba's there, but this year is a full-blown Tatum and Brown year. The year this team goes through them too. That's just my opinion. But yeah, man, some predictions there for sure.
Whoa, 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 whoa. MVP,
Oh, I'm
man.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. MVP. I'm going with Giannis. I think just he's dominant.
Back to back.
Back to back. And, you know, I don't think there's another player in the league as dominant as Giannis. All he has left to do really is to develop a consistent shot. And if he can develop a consistent jump shot.
He didn't even need to win MVP last year.
He didn't. But, like, he'll still do all of that. But if you add in the fact that he can knock down consistent three-pointers for you.
Like he played against the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like the complete package against the Celtics. But if he could take what he looked like against the Celtics and stretch that out throughout the course of a full season, easy back-to-back MVP, without a doubt.
I like that. Mine goes to, you know, LeBron James. think LeBron James this year, everyone's talking about Anthony Davis, and LeBron's on a mission. LeBron's name got, you know, muddied up a lot last year. Not making the playoffs, being hurt, you know, the rise of Kawhi, the rise of Kevin Durant, the rise of Giannis. You know, LeBron wasn't really talked about. The Lakers were pretty much a laughing stock. If we all know LeBron, LeBron's a competitive SOB. He's going to want to prove a point. He's got AD here. You see him. You see he's happy. You see that he's really looking forward to this. He's got a team here. So I think he's going to really go all out this year and, you know, be close to – he doesn't need to drop 30. He can get a 24-8-8. And if his team is winning, I think that could be enough for him to be MVP.
Will this be the – he's turning 35 this year.
Wow. LeBron's turning 35 this
LeBron
year?
LeBron James is going to turn 35 this
what?
Year.
What?
I'm pretty sure.
Jeez.
Will this be the last, like, full-blown – you're checking his age?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm pretty sure LeBron James will be 35 at the end of this NBA season. Will this be the last, like, fully-blown dominant LeBron James season? He turns 35.
Yep.
You know, we know the stats lines. He's an easy, like, 26-8-8 or something like that. Career number, something along those lines. I'm agreeing with you. He'll put up something close to that this year. But 35, he's going, you know, on the wrong side of an NBA star. Will this be the last dominant year from LeBron James?
Nope. Not at all. Not even close because of his playing style. You know, LeBron is not like a Kobe or whatnot where he just relies on his jump shot. The way LeBron is built, he's still going to be able to get to the basket at ease at any time he wants. And he still gets to the free throw line. He's a natural born passer. So those stats are still going to be there. And because the way the NBA has moved height wise and everything like that, he's still going to get rebound. The way LeBron is just built to be able to play this way for as long as he wants to. Is he going to be knocked down jumper? No, but as you get older, we saw that LeBron has developed a jump shot now. He's not going to be bulldozing through people like we see Giannis doing now, but he still has that in him. He's still bigger than most of the people in the league. And has he looked like he slowed down through the preseason? He hasn't shown any slowdown at all. I think LeBron, he still has 3-4 years where he can still do this, which is ridiculous to say. That's what it's looking like.
All right. There we go. Predictions of, you know, standings, Eastern, Western, you know, awards, who we think will capture the awards this upcoming season. Looking at the time here, this has been a full-blown NBA season preview.
Broke it down.
Full-blown NBA season preview. We wanted to talk about a lot more, but, you know, sometimes the conversation just flows so well. And this show will go down, episode 34, as the 2019-2020 NBA season preview here on Double M. Marv. Yeah.
Let us know where you thought we were right, where we were absolutely crazy. You know, a lot of things me and Mike had different. A lot of things we had similar. So, like we said, man, we got to put this up on social media, man.
Yeah.
And we got to keep track.
Yeah.
Keep track on seeing who, if our rookie of the years are comparable, our most improved players, you know. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun throughout the year to track this throughout Double M, and you guys will be following along.
Check us out. Follow us, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, not only on our individual pages, but the Double M social media accounts as well.
Yes. Spell out double, write down M. And media, and you will find us, and you can find us on every single streaming platform. I'm talking about iTunes. I'm talking about Spotify. I'm talking about Stitcher, Google Play. You can even find us in the iHeartRadio app. I mean, we are global.
Yeah. Check us out. Support, like, subscribe, share, all of that good stuff, because we need y'all to continue to make this show what it is.
Shout out to Augustin Dragani watching from Argentina.
Hey, shout out to Argentina for sure. Final thoughts, Marv, as we wrap it up.
Lakers, Clippers tonight. Mike, who do you have?
Clippers.
Clippers, I have Lakers. We'll see tonight.
Thanks for watching, y'all. Double M Show, signing out.